Welcome to NFL Live, presented by Nationwide. We're just 7 short days till the 2024 NFL Draft comes your way in Detroit. We've got a lot to get to, but Adam Schefter is with us all hours. So, Adam, give us 3 storylines picking up steam just 1 week out.
Well, Laura, the New England Patriots said today that the number 3 pick is for sale. They'd like to stay there and take a quarterback if they can, but, again, they'll also listen to offers for any teams that want to come up for the 3rd overall pick. The Patriots know they have to come out of this draft early with a quarterback, so they're inclined to stay there, but their phones are open. They are getting calls. They are listening, and we'll see how that works out right now. And then next, we're going to go to Jaden Daniels, who's meeting with the Washington Commanders yesterday and then today in Baton Rouge with the Minnesota Vikings. The Vikings brass flew to Baton Rouge to meet with them one day after Daniels was part of a quarterback contingent to meet with the Commanders in Washington. Jaden Daniels' agent last night made some noise about the fact that he was not pleased that Jaden Daniels was part of a group right now. And so it's a situation where he continues to meet with those players. And also today, the Giants general manager Joe Shane met with the media today and said he expects and believes that Daniel Jones will be ready to start. They are getting calls at number 6 about that pick. They'll listen to those picks, but they are also content to stay where they are and to try to fill out that roster, Laura.
Yeah, Adam, there are so many more stories to get to, and we will get to all of them this hour. You're with us the whole time. Field Yates, Andrew Hawkins. We've also got Mina Kimes as well, and we've got more to get to. So let's just go right to it. We've got a lot to get done. We're going to begin this hour with the Bills, who fell short of the Super Bowl once again as they were eliminated by the Chiefs for the 3rd time in the last 4 years. So to get under the salary cap, the Bills cut a trio of former starters in Tre'Davious White, Jordan Poyer, and Mitch Morse, and then they lost Gabe Davis and Leonard Floyd to free agency. So the biggest move of them all, though, came a couple weeks ago when, after months of speculation regarding his relationship with the team, Buffalo traded star wideout Stephon Diggs to the Texans. But now it's all eyes toward the draft for Josh Allen and GM Brandon Bean.
You know, he'll ask about, you like this guy or this guy, and he may go watch, you know, and throw his 2 cents in. He hasn't done the extensive work that we have, but I love that he loves it and likes to hear how we see things.
I will say this, last year, draft day, I sent Bean a text, said, Dalton Kincaid, that's all I said. You know, felt like that the draft day moment when Kevin Costner opens his thing and says, Vontae Mack, no matter what. It was Dalton Kincaid no matter what last year, so. I'd like to think that I have some input in who we get to pick, but honestly, I really don't.
I don't know. His smile was making me think differently. Phil, they currently have the 28th pick. Is wide receiver the only play there for Buffalo?
All right, so Laura, the further you are from number 1, the harder it is for us to say, here's how things are going to play out, and this is what you should definitively do, and yet the Buffalo Bills should be taking a wide receiver in the first round of the NFL draft. They had a problem as far as wide receiver depth was concerned the minute they lost Gabe Davis in free agency. And then when you trade away Stephon Diggs, who had more catches than any other player in the NFL over the past 4 seasons, it only highlighted this is going to be a primary area of need for them during the upcoming NFL draft. And I've got my eyes on certainly players that could fall to them at pick number 28. But keep in mind that Brandon Bean, in 4 out of his 6 drafts as the GM, has traded up in the first round, not afraid to be aggressive, whether it's a small move up or a big move up. Would not be surprised if Brandon Bean has his eyes on players like, for example, Brian Thomas Jr. from LSU, my 4th ranked wide receiver, a guy who led all of FBS last year with 17 receiving touchdowns. I thought the best deep accelerator in the entire class. Oh, by the way, Josh Allen might have the strongest arm in all of the NFL. So cutting through that Buffalo wind, no issue for Josh Allen. So certainly the Bills have some options, whether it's via a small move up or standing pat, but they must come away with some wide receiver help at some point early in the draft.
So I am in complete agreement with Field, as usual. And I'm not usually team trade up. Outside of going up and getting a quarterback, I'm usually team trade down. However, I think that there are a few forces conspiring to make the Bills a natural trade up candidate. One is their timeline. This is a team that should be trying to win now with Josh Allen. It's obvious. Obviously, there's also need at wide receiver. And then the other thing, and I think this is what really matters when it comes to who they might trade up for. I think the top three receivers in this class, Harrison Jr., Neighbors, and Odunze, are all in a tier of their own. And I think they're both prospects that have both incredibly high floors and incredibly high ceilings, which is to say, I think they're worth trading up for. Now, the question is, well, which one might actually be available? And that, to me, would be Odunze, potentially at 9. You'd have to leapfrog the Jets. It would take a lot, let's be clear. To go from 28 to 9, you're definitely having to give up a future first. But when you consider the fact that not only are you getting a receiver in Odunze who can win at all three levels, who you can just line up outside, he's a true X, who is about as polished a route runner as you'll see, and that you'd be getting him on still a relatively cheap contract compared to how much top receivers in the NFL are making right now, I think it's worth it for Buffalo. I don't know if Chicago will do it, to be clear, but if I'm Brandon Bean, I am picking up the phone and asking.
It's really interesting, too, because it's something that I think we've all talked about is knowing how Rome Odunze is as a person. You think about adding him to that locker room. That's another thing that you can't ignore. All right, so part of this has to do, Hawk, with the fact that they keep running into the Chiefs. But has the window closed when we talk about Super Bowl window on this version of Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills?
I think the draft is going to determine that. But even the fact that we are having that conversation is a cause for concern, because when you think about elite level quarterbacks, and I know we've had this discussion and people stand on so many different sides of the argument, though, the window never closes for the very best quarterbacks. And so if Josh Allen is that, this is the season that we're going to see that. We know Stephon Diggs has the most catches over the last four seasons in the NFL, to Fields' point. He is a number one receiver, tried and true. When Joe Brady came on, they didn't use him as much, but the threat of him on the field forced defenses to account for him, and that's going to be gone. And we remember what Josh Allen was like prior to that. He was still in developmental years. But going into this draft, I think the floor wide receiver that they can take is probably Brian Thomas. I had the Bills going up to get him even when they had Stephon Diggs for number two. Now they're missing a one and a two receiver. So they need somebody lights out to try to at least get as close to keeping pace as possible, because I haven't seen from Josh Allen him be the kind of quarterback that can still win and execute when the receivers and the weapons aren't top tier.
Hey, we've seen teams before jump up from where the Bills are to go get an elite wide receiver. It was exactly what the Atlanta Falcons did with Julio Jones. But the cost would be prohibitive. And just think back, when the Kansas City Chiefs traded Tyreek Hill, a lot of people said, well, they've got to replenish the cupboard there with Tyreek Hill gone. And the Chiefs have gone and won two straight Super Bowls. So the Bills need to find more wide receiver help. They know that, but they're going to weigh the cost analysis of everything here to determine whether it makes sense to trade up, trade back, stay where they are. They do have to come out of this draft with a wide receiver or two. Everybody knows that. But again, it'll be who they're targeting, where they value them, and what the cost would be to have to go up or back.
Yeah, Shefty, I thought the point you made towards the end there about the Bills maybe moving back was particularly notable as well. Our colleague Bill Barnwell has laid this out, I think, beautifully, just in terms of how the Bills, yes, we all think the idea of moving up in the draft to solidify one wide receiver spot will be logical, but given the depth of this class, and I believe this, but Mel Kiper Jr., who's been doing this for 46 years, also believes it, so I take his word as gospel. It's the deepest wide receiver class, maybe, that he has ever studied. If you turn pick 28 into potentially two picks in the second round or multiple picks that have legitimate draft capital attached to them, you could take multiple swings and fill out what could be argued as multiple open spots right now in that wide receiver room, given the fact that, as things presently stand, it's Curtis Samuel, Khalil Shakir, and Mac Hollins is the Bills' top three options in the wide receiver room.
You know, it's interesting because you wonder if part of the thought, they may have had to trade Diggs anyway because of the relationship situation, but I wonder if they looked at the draft and they said there is so much depth when it comes to the wide receiver options, maybe they thought they could add
it
up. Yeah, exactly. Okay, we've got more of this coming your way. I wish we could just keep going right here. We do have to hit a commercial break, but a lot more coming as the Commanders hosted a number of top QBs from the upcoming draft. At the same time yesterday, you heard Adam telling you that Jaden Daniels' agent wasn't thrilled about that. Fields gonna say what he's hearing Washington's plans are with that number two pick. Don't miss it. Plus, is it a lock that the Broncos will take a quarterback in the draft after moving on from Russell Wilson? Adam Schefter will lay out Denver's game plan at pick 12 next. We've got news and all kinds of reports that you don't want to miss. NFL Live is presented by Nationwide and in part by Astepro Allergy, nasal allergy relief that starts working in 30 minutes.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Week 4 of the UFL kicks off Saturday as the Showboats square off against the Battlehawks at 12:30 Eastern on ABC and 7 on Fox. The Defenders take on the Stallions, and it's the Panthers taking on the Brahmas Sunday on FS1. The Renegades taking on the Roughnecks. Time to get to some top stories brought to you by Sleep Number. And for that, we turn to Adam Schefter. Adam, what do we need to know, starting with a new running back in L.A.?
Laura, the pipeline from Baltimore to Los Angeles is alive and well. J.K. Dobbins becomes the latest former Raven to go out west following Gus Edwards, the former Ravens running back, following the former Ravens offensive coordinator Greg Roman to play for Jim Harbaugh rather than John Harbaugh. J.K. Dobbins signed a one-year deal today officially to become the newest member of the Chargers backfield and give Los Angeles a little bit of added depth there right now. Meanwhile, we mentioned at the top of the show, the Commanders had in 4 quarterbacks on Wednesday, and that did not particularly seem to sit well with Jaden Daniels' agent, Ron Butler, last night, who tweeted out some comments that I think it surprised him that the Commanders would have all 4 quarterbacks in when a lot of people believe the Commanders are focused in on taking Jaden Daniels at number 2. And so whereas the Chicago Bears brought in only Caleb Williams, The Commanders opened up their search, opened up the visitation process. They all went to Topgolf on Tuesday night. They all spent the day with the Commanders on Wednesday. And today, the Commanders general manager, Adam Peters, said that the team is close to finalizing its selection. It anticipates doing that here in the coming days. And he doesn't expect right now that the team would wind up moving the number 2 overall pick.
Yeah, Adam, you're mentioning what he said. Let's stay there. GM Adam Peters was asked about those draft visits this week, and here's what he had to say.
What was cool is while we got to see them all together in a group setting at the Topgolf, which was really fun, and I think everybody had a great time, and it was very beneficial to see everybody in a more relaxed environment. They all got a lot of time individually with their coaches, with us, you know, where they were staggered coming in too, so it wasn't like they were sitting in a room together. They all had their own individual time with everybody, so it worked out really well, and then you got a great blend of that, and then working everybody together, you know, in a fun environment. We feel great about staying at number 2. I don't see a whole lot of scenarios where we trade down.
Yeah, especially in this quarterback class. At first field, I thought it was like kumbaya for the quarterbacks. That's a little more clarity. What do you make of all of it, though?
First of all, I don't care how the Commanders decide to do their visits, Laura. They get 30 of them. They can allot them how they choose. It seems like, based off the comments from Jaden Daniels' agent, that maybe their preference would have been, if they are seriously considering Jaden Daniels for that number 2 overall pick, wouldn't it be nice to have a full day, which is essentially how much time you get with these prospects on one of these 30 visits that you are allowed to sit there, talk through scheme, sort of get a better feel for the person you are investing in, because it's not just the player, it's also the person. And that might be reflective of just sort of a different era that we are in right now with quarterbacks, especially at the top of the draft, and how they feel as though it's a little bit of a different dynamic being the one versus being amongst a group of potential the ones.
I mean, the only way that you can really make an analogy to this is some sort of like dating analogy, but
yeah,
it does.
Give me the dating analogy.
But Hawk, like, that does make you think, okay, so you think you're committing to this person who's going to choose you, but then they bring in all these other people. Like, I could see how that could maybe bother somebody, maybe Jaden Daniels.
I could see that. Now, look, that's not how I date.
Laura, I don't know how
your
significant other.
It's been a very long time since I dated anybody. Yeah. 12 years, I guess.
But to your point, I also think there's this element of wanting to see the quarterbacks in a certain environment. So, yeah, obviously they can't select all four of them. He didn't flat out say we're not trading the number two pick. So you have to scenario plan as well. But also you get to see what this quarterback or what this player does in this certain environment. And that could also be just as telling as sitting there all day on the board. We want to see what kind of person you are in that dating scenario to see what your personality is like when you have to compete, right?
I think
there's something there.
I love it. I try not to use that analogy, but like in this specific instance, Field, it really does kind of apply.
It just feels so apropos for this setting. And yeah, I get ultimately the decision for the Washington Commanders should not be decided upon how one visit goes. Mm. But it's been an interesting dynamic. And frankly, it was the agent of Jaden Daniels that made this that much more intriguing based off of his perceived reaction to their decision.
Mm. Yeah, that's a good point. Those tweets going out from the agent. All right, we got more to get to. The Lions next. They're set to pick 29th overall next week. GM Brad Holmes talked about that process this morning.
We just take the same approach, but it's not, I don't see it as any more or less pressure. I just think it's probably, I don't know, maybe less heralded, you know. I don't know if people even are still hanging around or even remembering, you know, who picked, you know, 31, or, you know, it seems like everybody's kind of already celebrating 1 through 15 or something. But, no, we just kind of stick to the same process. You just got to just get your head around the players, and we've been doing this long enough to know, like, all right, probably not going to be in the mix on some of those guys.
Mina, where should Detroit's focus be with that 29th overall pick?
Yeah, remember, this is a team that went running back and linebacker early last year, so I don't know what their board looks like. I'll just start there. But if they do draft for need and based on the positions that are available, I do think corner and edge, as Matt Miller and Jordan Reed say, makes sense at 29. A player that I like, who I do think will be there, is Kool-Aid McKinstry out of Alabama. Mm. You know, started the year as a number one corner. Terrion Arnold emerged as he's going to be probably one of the first two cornerbacks taken in this draft. But McKinstry, I think, has the movement skills and smarts to play press man corner in the NFL. I know that's something that Aaron Glenn would like to do in Detroit. So to me, it makes sense. Plus, a guy named Kool-Aid wearing Honolulu blue, it just works.
I love it. Yeah, they had a great DB coach, too, with Nick Saban there at Alabama, having extra focus on the defensive backs. From 29 to 30 as we check in on Baltimore. Of course, their biggest splash came in free agency with the addition of Derrick Henry, who spoke about his new teammates this week.
Mar's a cool guy. You can tell he's a great leader by how everybody flocks to him. He comes out here. He has great energy as well. He works when he's here. Only been around him for a little bit, but seemed like a great guy. You know, his body of work speaks for itself, so.
Okay, so the running back position short up there for Baltimore. Where should their focus be in a week?
It's got to be on the offensive line. Coach Harbaugh said he thinks this team is better. I won't go that far, but I think they could be just as good with the addition of Derrick Henry, because you have another player that can shoulder the load. But to get the most out of him, you have to beef up your offensive line to help him and also protect Lamar Jackson. They lost 60% of their O-line from last year. Like, there was a lot of firepower. There was Zay Flowers, Isaiah Likely, Mark Andrews, Lamar Jackson, and Derrick Henry. But we all know these games are played and won in the trenches. They have to shore up that offensive line.
Yeah, in Mel and Field's mock draft, Field has the Ravens taking Illinois offensive lineman Isaiah Adams in the
second
round.
Love that player.
Yeah.
Like, more than most, apparently, but I'm in on him.
It could be really good. We've got more coming your way here on NFL Live as we turn our attention to the Broncos. What if they end up doing when it comes to potentially selecting a quarterback? Sean Payton spoke today. We'll bring you that and more. More NFL Live on ESPN next.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Welcome back to NFL Live, presented by Nationwide. We are 1 week from the draft. We're going to check in on the Denver Broncos and their 12th overall pick. Interesting spot. And head coach Sean Payton talked about the need for a quarterback earlier today.
Do we have to draft a quarterback? You'd say, man, it sure looks like we have to draft a quarterback. And yet, it's got to be the right fit, the right one. And if we had the tip sheets as to who everyone else was taking, it'd be easier to answer that question. And so that's the puzzle here.
He was choosing his words carefully there, as you could see. The Broncos have been searching for stability at the QB position ever since Peyton Manning retired after the 2015 season, and they clearly haven't found it. Since Manning retired, Denver has used 13 different starting quarterbacks, which is tied with Washington for second most in the NFL. Only the Browns have used more.
Phillip Lindsay's on that list. He's a running back, Laura. Of course, that was the game during the COVID year.
But, like, Field, to your point, he's on the list. Yeah. It's no coincidence they've missed the playoffs in every season since Manning retired, the second longest active drought in the NFL, ahead of only the Jets. That's another way to look at it. Adam, what are you hearing about the plans for the quarterback position in Denver?
Well, you heard Sean Payton talk about the fact that it's a puzzle. And I think part of the reason it's a puzzle is, in a perfect world, yes, they'd like to get a quarterback. The question is, can they get one where they are picking, or are they better off taking that number 12 pick, and turning it into a different player? I remember last year the impact that the Lions offense had on Sean Payton. Denver faced them, and Sean Payton watched the way that the Lions drafted Jahmyr Gibbs in round one, Sam Laporta in round two, and he saw the way that the Lions used these jokers in their offense, and Sean Payton's like, I need to find myself a joker. Now, the question is the quarterback he wants still available for him at 12, or does he feel he's better off going a different direction at that point to strengthen the rest of the roster? They did sign Jared Stidham to a two-year deal. Ben DiNucci's behind him. Clearly, there's a need somewhere to get a quarterback. The question is whether he feels like a guy that he wants will be there at 12 to draft.
We're going to hear from Field, but also Robert Griffin III is joining the show. I just want to make sure he gets his introduction when you'll see him in a second. But go ahead, Field.
Okay, so Robert, you might be available for the Broncos, right? Though we like having you here at ESPN, so don't go too far. But it starts to sound, just taking Sean Payton's context and Shefty's insight right there into account, it starts to feel more and more like the idea of the Broncos taking a quarterback at pick 12 is far from a sure thing, especially because I believe the four who are regarded as the top four are all but certain to be gone by pick number 12. When Adam says, but keep in mind, though, for the Denver Broncos, they don't have a second-round pick. So what I ask myself is, if the Broncos do not take a quarterback with their first pick, number 12 overall, does that create a pressure on Denver to have to find a quarterback with their subsequent pick at the beginning portion of the third round? And is somebody like Spencer Rattler, as an example, of perhaps the seventh quarterback on the board, going to be available there? And if he is, if the Broncos try to move up a little bit for them, is a team going to say, well, if it's not Spencer Rattler for you, who is it? And thus demand a steeper price for Denver to move up. It's a fascinating situation for the Denver Broncos, but it does not sound like 12 is squarely in the mix. A quarterback is squarely in the mix at pick number 12, which makes for this to be one of the more interesting pressure points of the entire draft.
Yeah, Phil, this is the most important draft in Sean Payton's Bronco tenure because of the decision he made of getting rid of Russell Wilson and taking that $85 million cap hit. I actually believe the two quarterbacks that are best for Sean Payton's scheme and offense actually will be there. It'll be Michael Penix Jr. and Bo Nix. Bo Nix has already had comparisons to Drew Brees and the way that he processes. Both of these guys give you something in the running game. They make great decisions in the passing game, and they both have a little bit of doubt surrounding them, which is something that Sean Payton covets. It was the same thing that was happening with Drew Brees when he came from the San Diego Chargers, and Sean Payton got the credit for making Drew Brees a Hall of Fame quarterback. So I think those are actually their best options. But a coach once told me, when you get your own team, you can do whatever the heck you want to do. And that's exactly what Sean Payton's going to abide by.
Yeah, in Mellon Field's mock draft, Field has the Broncos taking Georgia tight end Brock Bowers with that 12th pick. But important to note, as you just pointed out, Robert, Penix and Nix were also available. Very likely that they would be at that point. Let's move to the Eagles, you guys. They had a brutal end to the season, losing 6 of their last 7 games, including a blowout loss to the Bucs in the wild card. They got to work in the offseason, bringing in Saquon Barkley, but they lost Fletcher Cox and Jason Kelce to retirement. There are also some changes to the coaching staff with new offensive and defensive coordinators in Kellen Moore and Vic Fangio. So Jalen Hurts talked about entering the season with another new OC.
I find myself in a situation very similar to college in terms of having constantly revolving, thing and door in terms of coordinators and coaches. But I've always managed to have success in it. So that's always been a good thing because you've been able to, learn from people and apply it.
Yeah, it's important context there. You think about Jalen Hurts even losing his job in college to Tua Tagovailoa and then, of course, transferring. He had many different coordinators that he dealt with. Hawk, do you expect another year with new coordinators to affect Jalen Hurts?
I think so, and I hope it's in a positive manner because last year this offense, they had incredible talent, and they still have great talent. But it seemed unimaginative. It seemed predictable. Jalen Hurts played disjointed. And you saw the frustrations boil over on the sideline. What it felt like was a bunch of A-list actors improvising a movie, right? It didn't feel like it was a real game plan to it. And you need that from Jalen Hurts. And you're hoping that this new offensive coordinator can help Jalen Hurts find a style he can rely on, independent of what kind of offense they're running, because the Eagles need it. This offense needs it. They have Saquon now. They re-signed Devonta. They have A.J. Brown. Mm-hmm. And the cast is there. They need direction, and they need an offense that is game-planned and not just random plays thrown together, and that's what it felt like at times for the
Eagles. A little bit of time between, but Kellen Moore certainly has experience in that division, of course, coming from the Cowboys. Field, is there an obvious position of need that Philly needs to look for in the draft next week?
Yeah, I think it's cornerback, and I think the draft does align well in terms of where they're currently picking at number 22 overall, and specific to the secondary, they got to add some speed to this secondary right now. Darius Slay and James Bradbury, very accomplished players in their own right, but both now in their 30s. You got to add some youth to that secondary. So players like Nate Wiggins from Clemson, who was the fastest defensive back at the entire combine, heck, the fastest defensive player at the entire combine, makes some sense. Kool-Aid McKinstry, Terrion Arnold from Alabama, Cooper DeJean, who's about to make a pick six right here for Iowa, ran that 4-4-4.
That was like right on his cue. Yeah, oh my God.
I've seen that play a million times now by the end of this draft cycle, it feels like. But there you see Terrion Arnold, who had 5 interceptions last season and 12 pass breakups, both tied for second in the SEC. Laura, I think the Eagles must continue to address needs this offseason, and their free agency kind of felt a bit atypical for Philadelphia. I mean, spending big on Saquon Barkley, making a reasonable investment in Devin White, that perhaps this team is thinking a bit more short-term than its usual path of always being one step ahead of the curve, Mina.
Yeah, in total agreement with Field, that cornerback is the biggest need. I think Arnold and Mitchell will likely be off the board by 22. Yep. And if that's the case, my pick for them would be Cooper DeJean out of Iowa, who I think is a really excellent fit for Vic Fangio. You talked about the new offensive coordinator. They got a new defensive coordinator, his defense. So in DeJean, they would be getting a player who played in a very zone-heavy defense in Iowa. You'd expect some of that in terms of how he's used in Philadelphia with excellent eyes, route recognition, anticipation, and some of that athleticism that Field alluded to being missing on the back end. He tested well at his own pro day coming off of the injury. The speed is there. There's questions about whether DeJean should play corner or safety in the NFL. We can talk about that in the coming week. But the good news is I think in Philadelphia, they don't have to make that choice right away. They do have 2 starting cornerbacks in Darius Slay and James Bradbury. He can play nickel safety at first, then maybe transition to playing on the outside. To me, it would just be a really good fit between the player and the scheme.
All right, so I did talk about how Philadelphia has kind of been sort of addressing more immediate needs this offseason. But Howie Roseman is still calling the shots there, still does a very good job with that Philadelphia organization. He is always thinking one step ahead, which is why I also wouldn't rule out an early offensive tackle for the Eagles. Lane Johnson is an unbelievable player, potentially a Hall of Famer one day. But the reason why I had Amarius Mims and Tyler Guyton on the radar for Philadelphia is that he's going to be 34, Will Lane, during this upcoming season. So you're always trying to be one step ahead if you are Philly. And both Amarius Mims and Tyler Guyton, the kind of guys who, if you needed them to play tomorrow, might be a little green relative to some of the top offensive tackle prospects that will probably hear their names called before those two. But if you put them into Jeff Stoutland University, maybe the best offensive line coach in the entire league, both of them have a chance to reach massive, massive ceilings.
You know, I realize that he's been his head coach, so you kind of take it with a grain of salt, but Kirby Smart singing Amarius Mims praises. Yeah. He doesn't really do that often, especially on the offensive side of the ball. He's a defensive guy.
Right.
He loves Mims, thinks he translates really well to the next level. Coming up next on NFL Live, the Colts have high hopes this season if Anthony Richardson is able to stay healthy. Hear who Mina says is the ideal prospect to add alongside the franchise quarterback. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to NFL Live, presented by Nationwide. Let's run through the options for the AFC South team, starting with the defending division champs in Houston. We're talking about the draft here. They don't pick until the second round, where they have the 42nd and 59th picks. GM Nick Caserio weighing in on his draft plans today.
As it pertains to the draft, you know, certainly excited about the opportunity we have in front of us next week. We have 9 picks as of Thursday night. We'll see if that changes or stays static, but just given our history, it'll probably change at some point.
Phil, what is the top priority for the Texans?
Yeah, I think they need some defensive tackle help more, but also some secondary, perimeter corner. But Max Belton's beautiful because he can play inside, he can play outside. Four-year starter at Rutgers, excellent triggers, got great ball skills. No surprise, by the way, his older brother, Bo, currently plays wide receiver for the Green Bay Packers. This kid has all kinds of confidence. Love watching him during his 4 seasons at Rutgers. Now let's go to the Titans, pick at number 7 right now, and they have a very obvious need at left tackle. So why not just take the best offensive tackle in the class? That, of course, would be Joe Alt from Notre Dame, a guy who, despite the fact that he's only been a left tackle for 2 full seasons, looks like the kind of player who's been doing it for a decade, nearly 6'9", so has incredible length. It's hard to get around Joe Alt, get some movement in the running game as well. Needs to add a little bit more strength, but this kid has all the tools to be a very long-time left tackle in the NFL. Jaguars need a corner, so whether it's Terrion Arnold, whether it's Quinyon Mitchell, both of those players would fit the need for Jacksonville at pick number 17. Wouldn't surprise me if one of the two is available. Quinyon, who has those excellent ball skills and great speed. Terrion, who's so tough, instinctive. I also would not totally rule out an edge rusher for the Jacksonville Jaguars, but I still feel like corner is a top need and a couple of good options that I think will be available in that range at number 17. The Colts at 15, I think this might be the floor for Brock Bowers. And you think about this Indianapolis offense, what they want to do is they want to win the math game every single snap. We want to have multiple options and make one of your defenders have to choose one of those two paths and then, as a result, find a way to expose the other path that was not guarded. And Brock Bowers, so good after the catch, so reliable. He doesn't have to be a huge factor in the running game yet as a blocker because he's so darn good after the catch, has an incredible catch radius, obviously a great kid as well, was a little bit banged up during this past season, Laura, and then he came back and he looked no worse for the wear whatsoever.
Yeah, I mean, he was banged up. The toughness, the hard work that he implores, you would not believe how hard that guy works. All right, Mina, what do you make of Fields' pitch for Bowers in Indy?
I mean, I love the idea of Brock Bowers in Indianapolis for a couple of reasons. Scheme fit, and then what it does for the development of your young quarterback. Field really laid it out well with Shane Steichen's scheme. Very heavy play action offense, top 10 rate, and then, of course, very heavy in RPOs. Basically, they would use Brock not too dissimilarly from how you saw him used at Georgia. And as far as what he does for Richardson, well, he gives him a huge target who gets open quickly, makes difficult catches look easy, and then gets you yards after the catch. And when I think about what we want to see from Richardson, what Indianapolis would like to see in terms of his development throwing, particularly to the short and intermediate parts of the field, I can just imagine Bowers doing so much for him. And really, that's what this season for the Colts is all about, setting up your young quarterback for success so that he can develop and you can evaluate him to make sure that he's the future of your franchise.
Well, Mina, you know as a parent that it's all about how you support your child, right? Well, for Anthony Richardson, the Colts need to support him with many more weapons. I know it sounds redundant, but at the end of the day, it's an arms race in the NFL to see how many guys you can put around your quarterback. I don't know if Brock Bowers is necessarily going to be there at 15, but I think a guy by the name of Brian Thomas Jr., who led all of the FBS in touchdown receptions last year, could potentially be there. So if you can't get the guy that's going to really help you in the RPO game and get those numbers on your side, why don't you go get the guy that can take the top off the defense, which is what they don't necessarily have right now. Anthony Richardson is a really promising young quarterback with a big arm. Giving him a big, long, lanky receiver to throw down the football down the field to would certainly be a recipe for success, because they're not just competing to win their division, guys. They got to be Kansas City, Baltimore, Buffalo, Cincy. All those teams have way more weapons than the Colts have right now.
Yeah, and I mean, to your point, it is also the division. The division's really improved too, Hoggy. You talk about Houston. We just heard from their GM, Nick Caserio. They just kept adding pieces this offseason. They'll do more even in the draft. You think Indy is still in a position to contend there?
Absolutely. I think this division is interestingly competitive. You look at Houston, they're the toast of the division. They've only gotten better with the addition of Stephon Diggs. But when we saw Anthony Richardson before he got hurt, he looked closer to that C.J. Stroud class than the Bryce Young class, at least as it pertains to their rookie season. His problem is he has to learn how to play the NFL game, and that includes not pulling the ball and putting yourself in harm's way by getting them a weapon like a Bowers or like a Brian Thomas. That allows him to do that in his development. The Colts were on the brink last year, even with Gardner Minshew. So you bring Richardson back and you give him another weapon, and absolutely your offense is now cooking with oil.
Well, right, because he does need to be a little bit more careful, but he's such a weapon, too. A reminder, at the time of his injury in Week 5, Anthony Richardson was one of three quarterbacks to have at least four rushing touchdowns and three passing touchdowns. Lamar Jackson and Jalen Hurts were the other ones. So you see the potential right there. Up next on NFL Live, will the Giants try to be aggressive and trade up for a quarterback? RG3 will tell us why he believes the Giants shouldn't panic and make a decision they could regret. That's next, and he'll explain. NFL Live is presented by Nationwide and in part by Hulu Plus Live TV. Get over 95 live channels, Disney Plus and ESPN Plus, all in one plan. More NFL Live after this.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And, boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
The NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN and ABC.
Time now for Draft Night Drills presented by Nationwide. And we turn our attention to New York, where Daniel Jones, who's currently rehabbing a torn ACL, could potentially be replaced with a rookie quarterback. Of course, the Giants are currently sitting with the sixth pick, but Jones had a breakout season in 2022 when he led the Giants to the divisional round of the playoffs. And as a result, he received a four-year, $160 million contract. However, Jones wasn't able to replicate that success last season when he had two touchdown passes and six interceptions prior to tearing his ACL in week 9. The Giants GM Joe Shane addressed the quarterback position and their plans at the draft earlier today.
Do you still feel like you need or want to add a quarterback in the draft?
I don't think so. I think with, you know, Drew's experience, you know, he started games and played, and, you know, Daniel's experience and then what Tommy did last year, another year in the system, Tommy's come a long way. So, no, I think we could go in with the season with the three that we have, and, you know, I'd be comfortable with that.
I mean, if he's acting, he's a really good actor. Adam, should we buy Shane's comments there at face value, or is this a potential smokescreen trying to keep his real plans hidden?
Well, you have to understand exactly what he was saying. He was saying the absolute truth there, Laura. They could go into the season and be comfortable with the three quarterbacks that they have. They could be, but it doesn't mean that they won't take one at 6 on Thursday night 1 week from now. If the right quarterback were to fall to them, maybe like Drake May, which is hard to imagine Drake May getting to 6, I think there are people around the league who could see the Giants going quarterback. I think there's a feeling out there that they're going to wind up going with one of these elite wide receiver prospects, but the Giants also have done an awful lot of work on all the top quarterbacks in this draft. There's a reason that they went to Ann Arbor to work out J.J. McCarthy privately, then had J.J. McCarthy come to New York. So, yes, that tells you right there. They could be happy with the three quarterbacks that they have on their roster, but they are certainly not shutting the door on taking a quarterback at a high-end spot in this draft at the number 6 spot. I don't know that they would trade up to get one and give up more draft assets, but if the right guy's there at 6, I think there are people around the league who believe they could act on that position.
Okay, so that's the interesting thing, Field, because Adam's saying maybe we don't expect him to trade up, but they could potentially. Where would they need to get? What are your conversations and thoughts around what they could do if they went up just a little higher than 6?
Yeah, Laura, I'm going to break a draft rule, which is doing things on your own terms, because oftentimes when you're trying to move up, you have to kind of acquiesce to what the team that is moving down wants most. So if I'm the Giants and I'm thinking about calling the Arizona Cardinals, who currently own the 4th pick, if they say, hey, the only way that we're getting pick 4, or you're getting pick 4 from us, is if you include your 2025 first round pick, then if I'm the Giants, I hang up the phone. No chance. Now, if it's other trip, if there are other picks, if it's non-first round picks to potentially move up from 6 to 4, I would think about it if I'm the Giants. But to me, the more pertinent conversation is, if a J.J. McCarthy falls to you at 6, would you consider taking the player? Because that would be on the Giants' terms and not on somebody else's terms, I would be comfortable doing that. But I would tread lightly, or there are reasonable cases for going either direction.
The devil would be in the details, but I absolutely hate the idea of the Giants trading up to get McCarthy. You know, for a litany of reasons, but I'll start here. When we look back at quarterbacks who have come into the NFL and struggled in recent years, most recently Bryce Young in Carolina, Sam Darnold with the Jets, so often we see that it is in large part because they went to difficult situations. Yeah. Young, of course, not having talent at receiver in the offensive line. The New York Giants are a difficult situation, and if they were to trade up, they would be losing draft capital to try to improve that situation. To me, it would fly in the face of everything we've learned about what it takes for a young quarterback to succeed in the NFL right now. Now, if you absolutely love a prospect and he falls to you, I understand why they would do it, because they might fear that they wouldn't be in that position next year. But I would be nervous about it, because more likely than not, that quarterback would play. Daniel Jones is on a contract, but it's guaranteed for injury next year. And I would be apprehensive about that from a developmental standpoint. Mm.
Guys, we're all saying it, and I'll say it even more clearly. The Giants need to stay their jolly green giant behinds at number 6 and take Malik Nabers. Listen, if J.J. McCarthy falls to them at 6, I could completely understand it. But they need that true bona fide number 1 wide receiver to partner with Slayton, Wandell Robinson, and Jalen Hyatt. You all said it. They don't have the personnel right now to really say, all right, we can bring a rookie in here and he'll be successful right away. You don't even know if Darren Waller is going to be coming back. But say they do trade up in the draft. They trade number four, number five, and they get J.J. McCarthy. What does that quarterback room look like? Mm. Daniel Jones making $40 million, making awkward situations more awkward. You got Danny DeVito, who's a fan favorite. Drew Locke is on the sideline rapping them rap lyrics. You know what I mean? I think that Joe Shane and Brian Dable are way smarter than to draft a quarterback and bring more drama into their quarterback room and to their team. They understand that they need to add players to this roster.
This is a unique collection of personalities in that quarterback room as it currently stands. Let's live in the world field where they do pick at six and Malik Nabers is there and Romo Odunze is also there, because you would assume that Marvin Harrison Jr. has already been drafted. Between Nabers and Odunze, who's the better fit?
Yeah, Laura, you and I are both parents to two children, and you can ask us which of our children is our favorite, and it kind of depends on the day, which one's being a little more unruly, usually slides down the number two. That's kind of where I end up with these three great receivers at the top. I would take Malik Nabers if pressed to make a decision between those two, simply because of the explosive play ability. To me, the most explosive player in the draft, regardless of position this year, the Giants could desperately use that kind of weapon in their offense.
It'd be fun to see either one of those guys in New York and see what it looks like in a Brian Dable offense. Time for one more thing before we go. And today we're going to check in on Micah Parsons and this video of him going punch for punch directly to the gut with a boxer. I don't understand this. I don't know how the Cowboys feel about this.
Oh my God.
He's a lot bigger than that guy.
He needs to get some training.
Punching until someone taps out with Micah Parsons. It looks like he's barely even getting hit, but that did hurt, I think. Should we try that on NFL Live at the draft?
How long would I last? Like, I don't think that guy would even make contact and I'd be falling over.
Mina just said she used to do that with her brother. And you won, Mina. There's no doubt.
Everybody do
we'll
that?
See you tomorrow on NFL Live.